makes the difference in our lives. Amen? We're talking about the attributes of God. And last week we talked about God is love. And really, the scope of God's love is just beyond my comprehension. You know, it'd be easy to think, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But the extent of his love, the reassurance of his love, that we truly believe that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And we mess up, and we falter, and he loves us still. That's an amazing thing. And in here, I wish more people would understand that, you know what? The Father wants his children to return home. And we all know, we have loved ones, relatives, neighbors, who have wandered from the Lord. And sometimes because of shame. I remember talking to a gentleman who years ago came, and he said he sat outside of the church here in his vehicle. He was afraid to come in. And the first week he didn't, he drove off when church started, and the next week he came in and sat there, and then finally he came in. And I asked him, I said, you know, what's so scary? You know, I look at you guys don't look scary. And I asked him, you know, what was it that was keeping you? He goes, I just felt ashamed, and I was afraid I would come in and be judged. I said, what happened? He goes, the people were kind, and people were nice, and people were glad to see me. That's the love of God. And I wish more people would understand that the Lord wants you to come back. We're dealing with the prodigal son, where the father looked over the horizon, right, waiting for his son to come back. And then when he saw him, he ran. And that's what God does for us. Come with the love of God. This morning we're going to look at the next three, actually, believe it or not. Lord willing, we're going to squeeze all these in. We're going to talk about how God is just, he's righteous, and he is merciful. So we'll see how we go on this. The first one, we talk about the idea that God is just. And what do you mean by that? And the best way I can kind of illustrate this is God is the standard. He is the one who is upright. And we're all off that standard. I remember back when I was first working as a carpenter's helper with a gentleman, and we were cutting a whole bunch of 2x4s. And we're supposed to measure them off and cut them. And I had the one that was perfect, right? I had the one that was set up. And he goes, I need like 13 of these. And so I took that one and I marked the next board. And I cut that board. And I tossed off the original, put it aside, and used that one to cut the next one. And I went through the course of each one I used as the pattern for the other one. And by the time I was done, I was almost a quarter of an inch longer. Because each one was off just a little bit. And, you know, and holding it up to the last board, I held them up. Hey, it doesn't look so bad. And he goes, look, pull up the original. And I pulled up the original, and I was off. That's what's kind of happened to this world. That God is perfect. God is just. He is the standard. And we are all off of that. And what we want to do is compare ourselves to one another and say, I'm not so bad. Right? I'm not so bad. You know, look, I'm better than you are. Or you look at me and you're better. Well, I didn't do this, right? We got to use that standard. You know, the Bible says that God is just. He is the standard. And because of that, we all fall short. Now, I was trying to think because my carpentry skills aren't all that great. And probably using that as an illustration wasn't all that great. The other thing that kind of came to mind was, I don't know what toothpaste commercial it is. I don't know if it's Crest, but they do the napkin test. Have you seen that commercial? They're like, oh, you know, and it's funny because I, you know, look at the models on there, and they're all like in their 20s, and they're, you know, look like they have headlights in their mouth. Their teeth are so bright, and they're all talking like, oh man, our teeth are so dull. And I'm looking at them like, you know, like, honey, you never had a cup of coffee in your life. You know, it's like no way. And so they're sitting there and they're like talking and say, oh, and they said, have you done the napkin test? And there's a commercial where they took, you know, you're supposed to hold your napkin up to your mouth and how white is it compared to the napkin? And then she did it and she's like, oh no, my teeth are so dingy. And they're like, oh, gargle this bleach. And then whatever the product is that will just make it, right? I mean, we've gotten to a point where Ay, ay, ay. It's just so unnatural. Some our celebrities and stuff are on there just like, but it's like using the napkin to hold it up, and I don't think any of us have teeth that are whiter than a napkin. But that's what they do. They hold the standard up. And because God is the standard, His Word shows us that standard. We have a choice of complying with that standard or bucking against it. Unfortunately, the world says that they like darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And we see this playing out today. We've thrown out all kinds of standards. Right? And we kind of want to judge everything on a curve. And now we with all this wokeness, of we judge things according to the skin color or what group you are or what kind of victim we are, right? We have all these things that distort the standard now. God is this way. He says, do not judge according to what? Appearance. But judge with righteous judgment. Right? We shouldn't be judging people by what they look like. Right? We shouldn't care skin color. We shouldn't care whether or not you're ritzy or poor. You know, this week, someone asked me about coming to church, and, is there a dress code? I said, no, just come dressed. And I'm glad you're all dressed this morning. Right? I don't care if you're suit and tie or a dress or jeans, or if you're really brave, show up in shorts. I don't judge you by those things. God doesn't judge you by those things. Judge does not go by the appearance. Doesn't go by your last name. Of the popularity factor. Right? I think we all agree we kind of live in a society that if you have the right last name, the rules of justice are different from you than from someone else. I think that works out all across the board. God is just. He doesn't hold us up to those standards. He is the standard. The Bible says there's no partiality with God. God does not play favorites. God does not love me more than He loves you. Amen. All those things that the world wants to judge us by, God doesn't judge by. He is just. And we live in a society where we want to cry out, right? You've heard the crowd shouting, no justice, no peace. And what they're really saying is, if we don't get our way, there's no rest for you. We've gotten to a place where we're tried by our social media. If I can get enough people to say something is true, therefore it is. Our justice system is broken. God is just. He does not play favorites. But in there, because God is just, right? He is the standard. He will judge all those. Not according to the worldly standards, but to His standard. And because He is just, God takes everything and holds it up to His perfection. And because of this, God will judge. Acts tells us, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He was ordained. Jesus Christ is the standard. And God will judge sin. He does. And He is the judge. He is the creator. And we are all responsible to Him. He is just. Psalms reminds us, God is a just judge. And God is angry with the wicked every day. We look around and we see all the evil that's in the world. And we seem to be living in a society where the more wrong you are, the more you seem to get ahead. Or am I the only one that kind of feels that way? Right? We live in a society, if people are doing things that if I did it, man, I'd be in jail or I'd be ostracized. But they seem to get away with it, right? Because of all these, the world standards. And one of the aspects we look at God's judgment, right, that God is just, is that He will set all things right. I hope you believe that. We talk about this morning in Sunday school that there's going to be a time where we're going to get our new bodies, the Bible talks about. Then there's going to be a new heaven and new earth. And it'll be perfect, unmarred by sin. We talk about that, what would that even look like? We're so used to sin. We're so used to corruption. But man, I'm thankful there is going to be a day when all the wicked will be judged. Things will be set right. All the injustice that is done will be set right. This idea of justice means God is fair in his judgments. Right? He doesn't show partiality. He doesn't play favorites. In here, it shows that a servant who knew his master's will did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving a stripe shall be beaten with a few. Jesus is talking in a parable here. And what he talks about is one servant knew something was wrong and did it anyways. And the punishment he deserves is more severe than someone who did it but didn't know it was wrong. The Bible says that he who knows what's right and does it not, to him it is sin. You will be judged according to what you know and what you don't know, because his judgments are fair. And so in here, we have the scripture talks about those who call themselves teachers or preachers who are teaching in error have a greater responsibility at the judgment than those who are sitting down and listening. Some of you have grown up in church. You've known the scriptures. You will be held to a higher account than those who didn't know. That's what he talks about here at the end of verse 48. It says, "And everyone to whom much is given, to him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, to him they will ask the more." So it's interesting. I was talking about this, and a lady came and goes, "I don't read my Bible." And I'm like, well, as a Christian, I encourage you, right? We have the daily breads, and I have the Bible, read the Bible for a year. I want to encourage people to be in the Word, right? We do have Sunday school where we dig in. We have Bible study midweek where we dig into the Word. It's so important for us to know God's Word. And to hear someone say, as a Christian, "I don't read it because I don't want to know." And she goes, "Look, God's not going to hold me accountable for what I don't know. So therefore, I'm willingly living in ignorance." I'm like, that's kind of backwards. Because you're going to be held accountable for that attitude that you have of willfully not knowing. And even that, you're not off the hook. I'm going to ask for a show of hands here, but have you ever been pulled over for speeding and you didn't know what the speed limit was? Yeah. Right? And the police officer comes up and goes, "Do you know why?" And I love this, right? They always come over, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" I'm like, "I have no idea." You know, what am I supposed to say? "Well, my registration's expired and my blinker's not working." "Oh, really?" No, I'm both like, "I don't know." "Well, you know what the speed limit is through here?" I'm like, "No." And you know what? Is ignorance of the law, does that get you off? No, because you're supposed to know. Right? And so all people are responsible to some extent. Romans chapter 1 tells us creation is enough to turn people towards God. Are you doing what you know? And willful ignorance is not an excuse either. But we see this idea that God's judgment is fair. He's a fair judge. But he does judge. We see this laid out at the end of time. That the world's going to stand before the great white throne. Revelation chapter 20, it says, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the works by the things which were written in the books." Everyone is going to have an account for what they did. I was talking to a gentleman who was talking about, you know, I've done more good in my life than bad. That's not the standard. Actually, the Bible says if you break one law of God's law, guess what? You're guilty of it all. You say, well, I'm not so bad. Well, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount says, look, you know what? I've never killed anyone. But he says, have you ever been angry in your heart at someone? No, I mean, I don't think today, but the Bible says you're guilty of murder in your heart. If you looked at someone with lust in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. We look at the standard that God is perfect and holy and he requires it of us. And because of that, he has to judge. And we look at that, and it seems like a terrible thing. Because who is worthy to stand? And the answer is none of us. We're going to sneak a peek because the last point we're going to look at this morning is God's mercy. That he is merciful to us. And he sent his son to take that punishment. He paid the debt that you owed. Also, as Christians, we look at the the righteousness of God. We look at his how he's just in here. That in here, he knows us. He knows our struggles, but he also has the things we've done for him. Hebrews 6 says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. The Lord knows. And it seems like as Christians, a lot of maybe what we do, we don't go around and shout it out. But the Lord knows. He knows your faithfulness. He knows the struggle. And the Lord talks about the reward that we will have with him. Because he's just. And we look to one side and God judges sin, but also God knows your heart. And all you've done for him, he knows. So Christian, encourage, do what is right. Paul tells the Corinthians, therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Right? It's not wasted. Because God is just. He says he comes and he brings his reward with him. Oh, dear Christian, dear saint, be faithful. Though no one else is, do what is right. Whether no one is looking, do it as unto the Lord. He knows, and he is just in his rewards. But as we said, because God is just, the wages of sin is what? Death. I've used this illustration many times, and I'll probably use it many times because I think it fits so well. Right? But how many of you guys, you know, you work all week, and if you showed up at the end of the week, and your boss gave you his paycheck, he said, you know, John, I know you worked 40 hours this week, but I'm going to only pay you for 10. I would be upset. Right? I don't know if you've ever had, actually, I had one place I worked at, they always got my paycheck messed up. Always. And so I'd trump into the office and say, hey, you know, I actually got to a point where I would photocopy my time card. Remember back when you used to have time cards? Right? Click. I would actually photocopy it because I knew they were going to mess it up. And I'd come in and say, look, here's all the hours I worked. And the lady would be like, oh, yeah, we did it again. I'm like, yeah, you did, you know. But imagine if your boss started and said, well, you know what? I'm only going to pay you half of what you deserve. Would you be a good boss? Would he be a just boss? No. A just boss would give you what you deserve. The Bible says the wages of our sin is what? Death. Because of our sin, we deserve to be separated from God. That's the justice of God. But praise God, he is merciful. And what does he say? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, because God is just, he just can't wipe the sin underneath the rug and sweep it all away. He can't do that. He has to judge sin. But because of the mercy of God, he sent his son to take that penalty for you. God doesn't change the standard. He just fulfilled it for you. And if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has taken that penalty for you. The justice of God is satisfied. But the mercy of God is poured out. And this, the first one is kind of linked to the second one. We talk about sort of the justice of God. Then we talk about the righteousness of God. A really good way to kind of understand the word of righteousness is take the first part of that, that God is right. God always does the right thing. God always does the right thing. God cannot do the wrong thing. And as Christians, you can rest assured what happens in God's working in your life is the right thing. The psalmist tells us this, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. I love this picture of all this. Right? The justice of God, that God is just. Right? He is the standard. He is perfection. He is holy. We are not. Because of that, God has to judge sin. Because it's the right thing. Right? I mean, how many times have we watched on the news of a trial? And because of that, the jury throws out a crazy verdict. Right? And we see people riot, people get upset. Right? Why? Because justice wasn't done. The right thing hasn't been done. God has to do what is right. It's the foundation of who He is. But it's interesting because we see this laid out. God was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And God stops and talks to Abraham. And Abraham pleads with God. And in here he says, far be it from you to do such a thing, destroy the city, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is what? Right. As we see God working, Christian, I want to reassure you, God is doing the right thing. We may not understand it all. Right? And I don't know why this happens. But let me tell you, God is not up in heaven just having fun whacking around your life. Right? God is not toying with you. He's not just messing with you. God by His nature can't do that. God can only do what is right. Isaiah tells us kind of a little insight into this. For your thoughts are not, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Part of what goes on in our life, that I don't know all that God is doing. Right? How many of you guys got a text this morning from God saying, hey, this is what is going to happen today? And it's interesting, when I was younger, I used to think, that'd be nice. Wouldn't you want God to tell you everything that's going to happen over the next 10 years in your life? How many would think that it's a great idea? For the record, I don't see any hands going up. Why? I'd be scared. I can't do this! But God lays it out day by day, and He's working things all out for good. And so just because I don't understand it, God, what are you doing? God, you haven't told me. Does not mean God is doing the wrong thing. Actually, if anything, His ways are much better than my ways. And God, have your perfect work in our lives. And as Christians, we need to really wrap our heads around this, that what is happening in your life is just and it is right. Apart from your feelings, trust in the Lord. Trust Him. By His nature, He will do what is right. And there's an assurance in that. And we can look at His Word, and it kind of gives us an indication, right? It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. That just means truth, right? Of what is right. For reproof of how to correct it. For correction and instructions of righteousness. that in there, God works in our lives through His Word, shows us what is right and what is pure. As I read it and I follow it, I'm on the right path. But God is right. You know, in that judgment day, when the sinners stand before the Almighty God and give an account, no one is going to bring a charge against God and say, "You were wrong." But if you look at how God is just, and we look at how God is righteous, and we're not, and then we end up with God is mercy. Because if God is just, I'm off. I would have no chance. I am so imperfect. I'm a sinner. I deserve judgment. And nothing I can do can make that better. And because God does the right thing, God has to be fair, God would have to give me the punishment that I deserve. Because I've earned it. But because God is love, God is also mercy. Mercy holds back what we deserve. And folks, we need to realize that. Because if I got all that I deserved in my life, I'd be in sorry shape. And yet God in His mercy restores and forgives. The psalmist says this, "But You, O Lord, are full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth." Have you ever worked with a child that didn't want to listen? Have you ever been frustrated with that? Right? You know, I've told you 20 times, don't do that. No? How merciful and compassionate do you think God is with us? He forgives, restores, because He loves us. God does not want to send anyone to hell. He wants to save you from it. God doesn't want you to suffer the consequences of your sin. He wants to deliver you from those things. Because He is merciful. We're reassured that He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Because I am not perfect, Christ took my place. Because of my sin, I deserved that separation. And Jesus on the cross took our sins upon Himself, was separated from the Father for my sake. And so that I might be impugned, given His righteousness. And now when Christ looks at me, He sees me as perfect all because of what He has done. See, it's interesting because we talk about these attributes of God and how important they are. Because what we'll often do is turn around and say, look, oh, well, God is merciful. But we forget His righteousness and we forget His justice. God's all those things. And the death of Jesus Christ was a way for God to show His justice and His love and His mercy all upon the cross. Do you see that? Jesus did it all. And if by faith you will just accept Him and receive Him, He will pour out His mercy on you and declare you righteous and judge. To me, it's just kind of mind-blowing. How God is true to His character and accomplished what I could not for myself. And yet we turn around and look and say, look, what about all the injustice in the world? Look at all the wrong that's going on. That's not a new question. Actually, Peter wrote this. It says, knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last day, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers sleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Right? How come things aren't right? If God is just, God is perfect, how come this world isn't? You ever ask that? Right? God, if you always do the right thing, how come it seems like the wrong is winning? Peter answers us and says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Right? If God was going to just judge this world as it deserved, he could have destroyed it a long time ago. God could have taken me home soon after my birth. If we were just looking at his righteousness and his justice, that's what I would deserve. And yet the mercy of God in his long-suffering, he waits. And he's waiting for people to turn to him. And God is giving chances all the time. People will turn to him. What a blessing that is. God will judge, just not yet. Because he's giving opportunities for people to turn. To me to forgive, ask forgiveness of my sins. To me to walk in light. I don't have to be what I used to be. God is giving that chance to restore through his mercy and his long suffering. But God is who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Christ, for by grace you've been saved. Because God is rich in mercy. You know, it's interesting because we tend to want to say, oh, God is love. And we forget his righteousness and his justice. Or maybe you hang out with people who are all into God's justice and hellfire and damnation and forget about God's mercy and his grace. And he accomplished all of that through Jesus Christ. And his mercy extrudes and runs out upon us. That even in this life, I live by the power of Christ, but I live in his mercy every day because I still fall short. I'm glad I'm not like you. You guys have no problems, right? You wake up perfect and walk with the Lord all the time. And I'm the only one here that has the shortcomings. But God is merciful. I love this. The Lord's mercies are not consumed. Right? There is no limit to God's mercy. Right? God is perfect in his holiness. God is perfect in his love. He is perfect in his righteousness. He is perfect in his justice. He's perfect in all those things. And praise God, he is perfect in his mercy. Because his compassions fail not. And they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Woke up this morning. It was a new day. And God's mercies are new. Because I'm going to mess up today. And I need his mercy. And through his mercy, we are not consumed. And as we look at these things, we look at God's love, we look at his justice, we look at his righteousness, and we look at his mercy. All these things are all God. And we dare not take one away from the other. But praise God, they work together in harmony all through Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross. That through his perfection is maintained. His justice, his righteousness are maintained. That standard is held all through Jesus Christ. And by his mercy, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. What an awesome God we serve. Amen? A holy, righteous God who loves us and is merciful towards us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you. You are not like this world, Lord. You are holy, you are just, and you are righteous. Lord, help me to trust in that you will always do the right thing. Lord, someone here I think is struggling. Comfort them in the fact that you are doing the right thing in their life. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. When we fall short, your mercy covers us, restores us, forgives us. Lord, help us to worship you. Oh, Lord, you are worthy of it. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.